We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Hi, this is Chris. I wasn't planning on doing a repeat episode today, but life has gotten in the way. Sadly, I lost both my 97-year-old father and my 96-year-old mother, 13 days apart in the month of January. So here's an episode from the archives that I enjoyed. I hope you will, and I certainly hope you'll understand.
I got my bags packed and on a roll. I'm heading out there, and I'm ready to go. Looking real good in my passport photo.
Amateur Traveler, episode 784. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about cathedrals and chocolates, museums and mudéjar, Roman ruins and fiestas as we go to Zaragoza, Spain. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Zaragoza. I'd like to welcome to the show Kat Driver from pathsandpostcards.com. And Kat has come to talk to us about Zaragoza, Spain. Kat, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. I'm really, really excited.
And Zaragoza is an interesting place because I had to Google it. I'll just fess up here. This is not one of those places I know, although it's in Aragon, which I know certainly significant historically as a place in Spain. But what was your connection with Zaragoza?
Chris, you and everybody else has had to Google it because every time I have said to people that I lived in Spain and they ask me where, and I see Zaragoza, I usually just get a blank stare and okay, and then I have to explain it. Zaragoza is between Barcelona and Madrid, almost exactly. And I was teaching English there. I decided on Zaragoza because it sort of had everything I wanted from somewhere to live in Spain. It was very local, not much English, so I'd be forced to learn Spanish. Weather is great, the transportation connections are great, and it has a really low cost of living. So I thought it was the perfect place to go and teach English, and that's what drew me there.
Excellent. Well, and why do you think other people should go to Zaragoza?
I think other people should go to Zaragoza because it is wonderful. It is a really underrated part of Spain. It doesn't see many North American visitors, and I don't really know why. I guess because it's so close to Barcelona and Madrid, and that's where everybody goes. But Zaragoza is really an undiscovered gem, and it's a really beautiful place to experience a real Spanish local life. It has all of the history that people are looking for to discover when they go to Spain. So it's very much steeped in Roman and Muslim and Christian history, and also has a really thriving modern art and culture scene. It's also really fabulous for the outdoors. So anybody who likes hiking and cycling and skiing, it's a wonderful place to base yourself to explore the areas around Zaragoza that would offer that.
Excellent. And what kind of itinerary are you going to recommend for us?
Oh my goodness. Well, depending on how long you have there, really there is more than enough to fill a week or two for sure. So first of all, I think the historical center of Zaragoza is the main part to start off your expedition of the city. It's got all of the historic sites sort of clustered into that one area. For starters, the magnificent Plaza del Pilar. That holds two cathedrals. Zaragoza is one of the only cities in Europe, one of the very few cities that actually has two cathedrals. The gem, everything that Zaragoza is centered around, is the Basilica del Pilar. The Virgin of the Pillar is the patron saint of Zaragoza, and everything revolves around her, as will be quite evident to any visitor to the city. She also has a really magnificent festival in October dedicated to her. So if you want to see amazing parades and amazing costumes and wonderful celebrations, October for the Fiestas del Pilar is definitely the time to go there. That cathedral, for me personally, I think the outside of it is absolutely spectacular. The inside is wonderful too, and it's a really great place to see some Goya masterpieces in situ. So there is a Goya dome in that cathedral, which is absolutely stunning.
It's funny, the style of the cathedral, Mudéjar may come up sometime in this conversation, or the architecture and the art influenced by the Moorish influence. But when I look at not the style, but the layout of this cathedral with the widely spread apart bell towers, it looks like a mosque design. So it's very interesting, very non-Spanish looking to me.
And that's the thing about Aragon. You mentioned the Mudéjar architecture, and that it's actually a protected site, the Mudéjar architecture of Aragon. It's a UNESCO heritage site.
Mm-hmm.
And all throughout Zaragoza and the region as a whole, it will be evident that there were so many different uses and different purposes for all of these buildings. So you'll see a distinct combination of the styles. And I think that's very similar throughout Spain, like, for example, Mezquita in Cordoba.
Right, sure.
You would see that Christian and the Muslim influence because it has had so many reincarnations throughout history.
Right, right. Well, that one, of course, it was a mosque, so that was a little more obvious in terms
exactly,
of why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and one thing I learned while you were talking is that my ignorance about co-cathedrals, is why it doesn't have two cathedrals, it has co-cathedrals, is not that unusual, apparently. There are 303 different cities in the world that have co-cathedrals, much to my surprise, and most of them are in Europe.
That's surprising to me, too, because that's a real point of information in sort of what I have read about this, that they make it quite clear that Zaragoza is one of the very few cities that has that, so...
Yeah, a lot of locals say things like that if they turn out to be not true. I've learned to take all those with a grain of salt. But
yes, yes. So maybe not that uncommon. However, still wonderful. So the second cathedral is the Laseo, it's called. And that is actually one of the very clear examples of that combination of the Mudéjar and the Christian art. Like, that is very, very obvious and evident in that cathedral. It's actually just adjacent to the Basilica del Pilar. The Plaza del Pilar is quite a grand space. It's one of the largest plazas in the world. So Liceo sits quite near to the Basilica del Pilar. And the outside of it is wonderful because, again, you get the mixture of the Christian, the Baroque, and the Mudéjar architecture. But inside is absolutely mind-blowing. It's a very great example of Gothic architecture inside. Mm-hmm. And it's got numerous little different chapels, all of which are, the architecture is just spectacular. They're all quite different. So very diverse architectural example. Liceo is wonderful. It also has an amazing tapestry museum as well, which is worth a little look. To get a really great overview of the Plaza del Pilar, it's wonderful to go inside the basilica and head up one of the towers, take an elevator up to the top of one of the towers, and it gives such a beautiful overview of the whole city, some of the best views there. And because it barely ever rains, every day is usually a good day to go up there and enjoy the sunshine and a sweeping view of Zaragoza and the plaza as well.
Well, you bring up weather and hardly ever rains. Is there a season of the year that you would think is the best season to be in Aragon and in Zaragoza in particular?
Yeah, I think the kind of typical shoulder seasons are wonderful. The winters are dry, but they can be quite cool.
Okay.
But again, nothing that a warm jacket wouldn't fix. The summers, July and August, can be quite oppressively hot, much like the rest of Spain. Okay. So that can be kind of unpleasant. I'm Canadian, so I work in Celsius. Some of the temperatures can be in the high 30s and early 40s in the summer.
Okay. 90s and 100. Okay.
Yeah. I come from Vancouver, so we have, it's been raining here since September constantly. I really appreciated barely ever having to use my umbrella. Most days are really, really nice in Zaragoza, but I would say the spring and the fall are really, really quite wonderful for sightseeing.
Excellent.
Next thing to make your way to in the Plaza del Pilar would be the Foreign Museum of Caesar Augusta. That museum looks like a modern structure on the outside. So the building in the plaza is modern, but you have to go underground to experience that museum because it is all of the archaeological remains of the Roman Forum from the time of Emperor Augustus. So for Roman history buffs, it's a really beautiful example of a market area, a forum area of old Zaragoza. Really quite amazing to discover and somewhere that really deserves quite a bit of time because there's lots to see as it takes you around the old market of the city. The other really wonderful, one of my favorite parts of the Plaza del Pilar is the Fountain of the Hispanidad. So that is a modern fountain and it looks really cool from ground level. Like it looks like a really nice water feature of the plaza, but it's actually something that I'm not sure if you can see this from the tower, but when you look at it from an aerial view, it's a map of South America. So it's a tribute to all the Hispanic countries, which Zaragoza has quite a close connection with. So that fountain is really, really amazing. I remember the first time I saw it from an aerial photograph, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. It's really, really amazing how they've done that. And then, of course, with the Plaza del Pilar, you must sit and have a cafe con leche or a piece of cake or something and just take in the vibe of the city. It's definitely the heart of Zaragoza. It's where all the festivals happen. It's where everybody gathers. Wonderful concerts. So yeah, the beating heart for sure. And it's wonderful to just spend a few moments there with a cup of coffee, just taking it all in.
Well, you mentioned festivals. Are there particular festivals we should be aware of in Zaragoza?
Yes, there are definitely amazing festivals. The biggest, as I mentioned before, was the Fiestas del Pilar, and that's in October.
Patron saint.
That is a festival devoted to the city's patron saint, the Virgin del Pilar.
And since we're in Spain, does this involve taking some very large statue of the patron saint and parading her through the streets? Is that the sort of thing I should expect?
That is absolutely the sort of thing you should expect. It's wonderful. They have one night where it's a lantern parade. Okay. And that is where they parade her and others through the city at night. And it's quite beautiful. But her festival will also include fireworks and light shows and concerts and many more parades. They have parades where everybody dresses in the traditional costumes and where villages come together and present her with gifts of fruit and flowers. This all ends in the Plaza del Pilar, and they have what is called the ofrenda. It's a large flower offering.
I saw pictures.
Yeah. Millions
when you
and
say
millions.
Large flower offerings, I believe you are underselling it.
I think, yes, gargantuan maybe is right. It's huge. Yeah, everybody brings flowers there, and it is quite something to see. No words can do it. Honestly, no words can do it any justice.
It's a mountain of flowers.
Yes, so that is definitely the festival to go to if you're planning a trip to Zaragoza. The other one that's really amazing, well, Christmas is amazing, of course. The plaza is done with a huge, they call it the Belen, the Bethlehem scene.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. A nativity scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really quite quite wonderful too. So you can take a walk through old Bethlehem and the Plaza del Pilar in Zaragoza. They have wonderful markets. And for the Epiphany, which I think it might almost be a little bit of a bigger deal than Christmas, is the Epiphany in January. They have probably one of the most amazing parades I've ever seen. Zaragozans know how to do parades. If you're a fan of all of that sort of festivity, it's a great place to go. Throughout the year as well, they have music festivals, jazz festivals, dance festivals. So they have a big flamenco festival every year. And there is, every September, there is a mural festival as well. Zaragoza is a city that is really amazing for combining that historical as well as modern. Mm-hmm. And there is so much amazing street art and contemporary art around that city as well. So there really is something to do every time, like every month of the year. So it's really great for festivals. They really know how to celebrate and enjoy themselves.
Excellent. One other thing I wanted to mention, because you mentioned that the Roman Remains Museum was the Caesar Augusta Roman Remains Museum. I didn't catch that that was the original name of the city, was Caesar Augusta.
It was. So see what they did there?
It was founded during the reign of Caesar Augusta, and it was actually named after him. It's like, oh, okay, by ex-Roman legionaries who founded the city, which is always a good way to get favor from the emperor, is name the city after him. So, smart marketing move. Where shall we go next?
Everywhere you go in Zaragoza, it will be very evident that Francisco Goya is very important to them. And he is the famous artist, Francisco Goya. And he was born in Aragon. And the city and the whole region as well have definitely paid a lot of tribute to him. He's very, very special to them. And he does have a museum dedicated to him, which is absolutely wonderful. It's housed in an old kind of palazzo building. And the building itself is absolutely amazing inside. And there you will see a wonderful showcase of his prints. In the Basilica del Pilar, we saw a dome of his, so a painting. Mm-hmm. In the basilica, but in the museum, all of his prints are on display, and those are really wonderful to see. And as well, a lot of other artists are featured who were influenced by Goya. So it's a really wonderful place for art lovers. That is also worth some time and definitely a must-do on any itinerary to Zaragoza.
Okay.
Next, we want to continue exploring the old center and the Calle Alfonso. The Calle Alfonso is another beating heart of the city. It is a street that will lead up to the Plaza del Pilar. And the most wonderful thing about that street is that from one end of it, from the south end of the street looking north, it will end at the cathedral, and you can see the dome. It's quite magnificent, quite beautiful, especially at night. It's one of the most famous photographs of Zaragoza. So if you Google Zaragoza, you will definitely see this scene all over the internet, because it's just absolutely spectacular to see how the cathedral just ends like an exclamation point at the end of this street. It's magnificent. The Calle Alfonso area is really wonderful because it's very vibrant.
Butcher Box is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first Butcher Box. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. I also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to butcherbox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
You will see locals on their evening paseo, just strolling around, enjoying, taking in the environment. There are tons of shops and restaurants all over the area, so it's a wonderful place to just grab a seat on a terrazza and just enjoy a nice dinner or a glass of wine. That's definitely an area where one should spend some time, for sure. It's beautiful. Get lost in the streets that wind around the old center. It's really quite fun to explore all the old buildings and just feel that historical environment. And the streets around the Calle Alfonso will also lead visitors to the Central Market. Mm-hmm. And the Central Market actually just underwent a massive renovation. It opened just before COVID hit. So it opened up, I believe, in February, and then we were locked down by March. But they've done a beautiful renovation, and it's a great place, just like any typical local Spanish market, to just soak up that environment and enjoy some real authentic local foods. Just grab a picnic or just spend some time having a glass of wine in there too, because they have made it so that it's a place to come and socialize as well. So that's a beautiful place to end up on a journey through the old streets of Zaragoza. Near the market, you will also see a statue of Caesar Augustus that was given to the city of Zaragoza by Franco. It's also a beautiful homage to the history of the city. There you can also see remains, not too many, but remains of the old Roman walls. So in that little kind of plaza area, it's got a few things to see as well. And there is a Mudéjar Tower there as well.
Okay. Where to next?
Next, we should discover some more Roman ruins, I think. They're a little bit on the other end of the city from the old market. So wind your way back through those old streets and you'll stumble upon the old amphitheater. The amphitheater was actually uncovered by mistake in the 1970s. And now it's a beautiful museum. And then, of course, the structure, the ruins of the old amphitheater are still available for visitors to enjoy, to walk through and discover those. So that's a well-preserved and beautiful example of the Roman history in Zaragoza. Nearby there is also the neighborhood of La Magdalena, which has some beautiful Mudéjar architecture as well, some beautiful, beautiful towers and churches. If they're open, they're wonderful to go and explore. So you'll definitely have a couple of days easily that can be filled in that old center of Zaragoza.
Okay. And I assume one of the churches that you're talking about, for instance, is Santa Maria Magdalena, which is from the 1100s. So old church indeed.
It is. Every time I tried to go inside there, it was closed. And then one day it was closing in 5 minutes. The gentleman there gave me a stern warning about being out in 5 minutes. So if you have if you find it open and that you're lucky enough to have some time there, it's certainly worth a visit as well. And that's a thing about Spain that I don't think I ever got used to, was the siestas, so the opening and closing times of things, as well as how things go very late into the night. That was very, very difficult for me to adjust to. And then just sometimes never really sure when things are open. So it's one of the things that as North Americans, we just have to leave that sort of structure at home and just embrace their timeline for their days there. So.
Well, even if you don't get inside, the tile work on the bell tower is
very interesting looking, quite different style.
Yes, and that is definitely the gem of that whole building and what is worth going there for a visit. It's quite spectacular.
Sounds like you're ready to move us out of the central city, though.
I am ready to move you out of the central city, I think, because while the center is definitely where the cluster of the big sites are, there's lots to offer around the old center as well. Mm-hmm. And Zaragoza, the thing about Zaragoza is it's really small. So everything is within walking distance. You do not need, they have a wonderful tram and a bus system. Mm-hmm. The transportation there is very good, but I didn't really need it for typical sightseeing around. I lived a little bit on the periphery of the city, so I did require the tram to get into the city because it was just slightly a bit of a long walk. But for a tourist purpose, honestly, you don't really need to. Your feet can be our transportation everywhere. It's a very, very walkable city, which is wonderful. The next thing that we want to go and see is the Aljaferia Palace. So that is the most beautiful example of that Muslim architecture in the city. Mm-hmm. And again, that building has gone through many, many reincarnations. So now it actually, the government works out of the Aljaferia, but the Muslim architecture of that is absolutely wonderful. The outside of it is sort of, I guess the best way I can describe it is kind of a castle with a moat. It's not, the outside of it, I find, didn't really jar me in any great way, but it's the inside that is absolutely wonderful. It will definitely be the classic, a classic Muslim structure.
Yeah, I'm seeing the horseshoe arches like at El Mesquite, and feels like you're a little bit in Morocco.
It does, yes. It's actually a really wonderful place to go just on a really nice sunny day, because they have one of the paradise gardens as well, which is fairly typical in Muslim architecture, and the orange trees. So it's quite amazing. The Aljaferia, because it's used by the government now, sometimes it can be closed unexpectedly. So that's just one thing to be aware of with that building, but it's definitely wonderful. I would say it's about maybe a 15-20 minute walk outside of the historical center, but it's a great opportunity to enjoy a stroll along the Ebro River, because Zaragoza sit along the Ebro, and they've done really a beautiful job with the walkways and the pathways along the riverbank. So it's a great way to get there, is strolling along the river. Hmm. Also, as we move into modern times, it's a really wonderful city for modern art and culture. And one of my favorite museums, I don't know if I would put him necessarily as contemporary art, but it's the Pablo Gargallo Museum. And that sits in one of my favorite plazas, Plaza San Felipe. I think that's my favorite plaza in Zaragoza. I had a lot of coffees at the wonderful restaurants around there. And he is an Aragonese sculptor. And his work is just really unique and beautiful. And this might be a bold statement, but I might have to say that's my favorite museum in Zaragoza as well. It's absolutely wonderful. And again, it's in a building that was one of those old Palazzo style buildings. So that's definitely worth a visit. That's a must do. And that is actually in the historic center as well. But we also want to pay homage to another modern artist in Zaragoza, and that's Pablo Serrano. And his museum is just, again, a little bit outside the old city center. And I would say it's maybe about a 15-minute walk. It's not far at all, but it's a very modern building, very obvious, angular with a big blue wall. You can't miss it. It's the contemporary museum of Zaragoza.
Oh, that is an unusual style. Okay. Yeah,
it's wonderful. And that holds a collection of his sculptures and explains the history of his work and his life. And they also have a lot of space as well devoted to different contemporary artists, and they have rotating exhibits, and it's a really, really wonderful, wonderful museum to go and visit. Every time I went there to try to go to this cafe, it was closed, but they have a rooftop cafe in that museum as well that apparently gives wonderful views of the city. sort of being there through a winter when it was closed and then COVID, it just never worked out. I was able to go there, but I am assured it's quite wonderful. So that would be worth a visit, and it's perfect for modern art buffs. Modern art buffs will enjoy some time there. Mm-hmm. Very, very much. Up the road from there, not too far, maybe about a 10-minute walk away, is the Kaisha Forum, which is also a modern art space. And it's a cube building, and they also hold different rotating exhibits and different events there. So that's also, I really like it there, but I mean, if you're pressed for time, you could pass on that one, but it's also definitely worth a visit for different exhibitions that they have there. The Museum of Zaragoza is also a wonderful place to get a history of the city. So anyone who's interested in just the historical timeline of the city, the Museum of Zaragoza is fantastic, as well as the Alma Mater Museum. And that's also in the Plaza del Pilar. And that's another really incredible museum that I don't think gets enough credit. And there, again, you can find historical artifacts, and it will just tell you about the history of the city and the region of Aragon. So those are two other museums that I think are worth the time if you have it.
Okay.
For people who like the outdoors, we haven't forgotten about you. A walk along the Ebro River, as I mentioned before, is wonderful. As well, one of my favorite activities to do was to rent a bike and just cycle along the river. It's set up perfectly for cyclists. And a ride along the riverbank to the west will take you to the expo lands. Zaragoza had the International Expo in 2008. Oh. And the expo lands there, it's all a modern development, mm-hmm. made specifically for the expo. And it's a really great place. They've made a beautiful public space out of that I actually don't think is used enough as it should be, because it's a little bit outside the city center. But it's really easy to get there on bike and doesn't take too long. But you can see some of the old buildings from the expo. For architecture fans, Zaha Hadid designed a bridge for that area as well. So that's kind of cool to see. And it's just a really nice park and nice public space. Quite an expansive piece of land, but a really nice place to go there for half a day and just ride or walk around. There's also the aquarium. The city's aquarium is there, okay. as well. So that's fun if you're there with a family, with kids. Something to see and take in for a little part of a day. The green part of Zaragoza is the Parque Grande. And that, again, is outside the city center. I would say it's about maybe a half an hour walk or just a quick ride on the tram. And that's exactly it, a grand park. It's a very, very big, beautiful green park, a wonderful place to have a picnic. They do have some celebrations there, like during the Fiestas del Pilar, light shows in the fountains. And it's just a really nice space to just relax and take a book or take a picnic and hang out there with the locals. It's a very, very busy park. You'll see lots of families and, you know, groups of teenagers and everybody just hanging out, enjoying the nice days there. So that is definitely worth a visit.
Okay.
So for theater and music lovers, so for nightlife, the nightlife goes well into the wee hours of the morning. I could never stay up that late. My bedtime typically is 9:30, but not when I'm on holiday.
So we're talking about a region of Spain that if you want to get a good dinner, you shouldn't think about going out sooner than 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock?
Exactly. Otherwise, it will likely be McDonald's. And that's the one thing I found really, really hard. My friends would say to me, oh, yeah, we're going to be having dinner at this place at 9:30. I'm like, I typically eat at 5. So that was really, really hard for me because I'm very, very hungry by 9:30. But do not expect things to be open at 5 for dinner. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. So 9:30 would be the time to go out. So dinners will start at 9:30, and concerts and things. Rock concerts would typically start at about 10. And then, of course, there is a big theater there. So theater shows, I believe, start a little bit earlier. I didn't get a chance to go to the theater, but I would think that they would start probably around 7. But there is a great, vibrant nightlife there. And the wonderful thing I found about it was that it was just a really local experience going out at night. There's nothing too much that's going to appeal to tourists. So it's really nice to know that anytime you go out at night, you're going to be mixing with locals, which mm-hmm. I thought was really amazing. Because Zaragoza is not a big city, you won't typically get, you know, sort of those big arena tours passing through there. And that's uh-huh. that's one thing I actually really missed, because I'm such a big fan of live music and going to big concerts and things like that. But with that said, I think it has a really vibrant kind of music and arts scene that it's a really great way to discover new music groups, new artists, things that you wouldn't typically find anywhere else. So that was one of my favorite things about that. So,
well, and just to put it in perspective, Zaragoza is about 600,000 people is what I was seeing. So depending on where yeah. you live in the world, that is a big city, or that is a village if you're from China. So
definitely. So for me, like, Vancouver is not like that big a city, but it's certainly one of the major cities in Canada. Mm-hmm. So for me, going to Zaragoza was like going to a little bit of a smaller place, but I really like that. I really enjoyed being able to be exposed to new music and new art and new culture and things like that that wouldn't be typical.
Now, the population of Vancouver is almost identical to that of Zaragoza. But
you know what, it is.
But it's the central city in for miles and miles if you're in Canada. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And even though, I mean, we have a much more expansive, like, periphery of our city. So
yeah, exactly.
So it gives it a little bit of a bigger city feel.
Yep.
Even though the populations are the same. But that is what I wanted in Zaragoza. And I think that mm-hmm. made it a really special experience, just be doing, you know, just different things and finding a lot of fun things to do where maybe like it wouldn't be as obvious as like the fun things to do in Madrid, for example.
Right.
So I think Zaragoza is wonderful for that, for just little small discoveries here and there.
Anything else that you want to recommend that we see while we're in the city? Sounds like you're winding down a bit.
I think we have hit all of the big sites.
If we were going to do a day trip from Zaragoza, where would you send people?
The greatest thing about Zaragoza is how centrally located it is. It's yeah. it's wonderful to get anywhere. Like, you could do a day trip quite easily to the Basque Country, for example. But I think we want to stay in Aragon.
Okay.
Because that's what we're there to experience. And there are many beautiful things to do in the region that aren't far away at all. Zaragoza is also really well connected. So trains are fantastic. I really, because I was on a bit more of a budget there, mm-hmm. I really, really loved the ELSA bus service. So that is just a coach service.
Okay.
It's really, really amazing. So for day trips, my favorite day trips were to Teruel. And Teruel is the place to go for Mudéjar architecture. So if you are a fan of that, Teruel is the place to go. It's, as I mentioned, it's a UNESCO heritage site, the Mudéjar architecture okay. of Aragon. And it's just it's a small, quaint city, really, really beautiful cobblestones. And the architecture is quite spectacular there. They are also very famous for their jamón. So if you like okay. to eat the Spanish jamón, that is the place to go for that. It's really, really good. Tarazona as well is an amazing day trip. And they're a little smaller town as well. But the one thing that's really amazing about Tarazona is their Jewish history. And they have well-preserved Jewish historical quarter of their city. And that's really wonderful to see. Again, you will still see there that mixture of the Jewish, the Christian, the Muslim history of mm-hmm. the city. But for the Jewish history, that's definitely the place to go. It's a really, really fun, really sweet little town. The other day trip I would really recommend is a trip to the Monasterio de Piedra. And that is an old monastery where the monks there used to make chocolate and wine. So for chocolate and wine lovers,
my kind like of myself, monks.
That is, yeah, are you hiring? That's a wonderful place to go. The old monastery is absolutely spectacular. And it's built in a surrounding park. And the park is really amazing to go just for a walk around. There are tons of spectacular waterfalls. Really beautiful on a hot day, not so nice on a rainy day. So save that for a sunny day for sure. But it's a really easy, I think it's about an hour and a half by a coach service.
Now, are they still making chocolate and wine? Or
they still sell it in the gift shop. Okay. So speaking of chocolate, another wonderful thing to do in Zaragoza is to pick up at the tourist office what they call the Choco Pass. And it's a pass that gives you, I think it's 5 or 6. You can go around to different participating locations and get a sample of chocolate from each of these places. So for chocolate lovers, it's a fun thing to pick up at the tourist office. And I think it was about 11 euros. And you can go around and get quite generous samples of chocolate from different establishments around the city. And the monastery is one of them. So that's what made me remember that.
I think every city should have that.
I agree.
It's like a brilliant idea.
It is a brilliant idea. Mine got used up very quickly. That's a wonderful thing to do in Zaragoza as well. Also, take a wine tour. Aragon is actually a wine-producing region of Spain. Everybody thinks of La Rioja as the most famous one, but there are a lot of wonderful wines to be had in Aragon as well, and many of the bodegas, the wineries there do tours. So,
and would it be the same kind of Spanish wines that I'm used to, or is it something different, or am I getting a Tempranillo? Or
I'll drink anything. So I'm not a wine connoisseur, really.
It was red, you're saying?
The region of Aragon is really dry. So yeah. You can see it changes a little bit in La Rioja. So I'm sure that the wines are probably a little different.
Okay.
I mean, I would go on a wine tour just simply for the tasting of it. Would be quite fun. But for anybody who's
sounds like
who's
a great plan to me.
Yeah, anyone who's interested in winemaking and wines, absolutely. There's a lot of opportunity to go and discover that.
Speaking of tours, I noticed when you were talking about the Central Market that there are food tours of the Central Market, and food tours of that kind of space can be a lot of fun as well.
Absolutely. I always love a food tour. They do great food tours and walking tours in the city as well. When I landed in Zaragoza, that's the first thing I did was go on a walking tour. So a couple of hours and you get a really nice feel for the city, and then you can go back and do things on your own, spend a little bit more time in some of those places. So I would definitely recommend. I think they do free walking tours, or by donation walking tours from the tourist office quite regularly. I think the English tours are a little harder to come by.
Okay.
Again, because there's not a lot of English speaking tourists that visit, but they do have them. I know that. So they can be found just with a Google search. I think, can't remember the name of mine, but it was one of the free tours, and then you just tip at the end, and that was done in English.
Okay.
Other great day trips. The surrounding area of Zaragoza has a lot of real natural wonders. Aragonese Camino goes through 20 towns in Aragon.
Okay.
And that's quite fun for hikers and walkers. Another great place for hiking is a village, Aguero. Might not be how it's pronounced, but it's A-G-U-E-R-O. And that is in the province of Huesca. Aragon is divided into three provinces, Huesca, Teruel, and Zaragoza. So we're going to be crossing provinces. It's not that far, though. Maybe about an hour's drive. And that is a little old village, but it's surrounded by these amazing rock formations. So for anybody who's been to Cappadocia in Turkey, it's kind of reminiscent of that on a much smaller scale, but really interesting rock formations and a beautiful hike around that area as well. So I did do that one, and I would recommend that. It's really amazing. And then, of course, we are near the Pyrenees Mountains as well. So many hikes to be had there. And a lot of skiing as well. So for outdoor lovers, it's a city and a region that has no shortage of things to do. I'm more of an arts and culture buff, but
we got
I know
that.
Not everybody is. So, yeah, if that wasn't obvious, but there is a lot of natural beauty to take in Aragon and a lot of things for nature lovers to do that can be easily done as a day trip from Zaragoza.
It's interesting to me, as somebody who's a little bit of a history buff, that we're talking about a region here that at one time, in around the time of the Reconquest, was one of the central regions in Spain. Obviously, Ferdinand and Isabella, I think people have heard of, the people who funded Columbus, and Ferdinand II of Aragon was where he was. He was from this region. He wasn't born in Zaragoza. He was born in a tiny, tiny town, Sos de Rey Católico, or basically the Catholic monarch. What is it? The Sos, I don't know what that is. The village of the Spanish monarch, I think, the Catholic monarch. But, of course, over time, the center of power moved out of this region, and it became a little bit of a backwater, but very significant historically.
Absolutely. And the Aljaferia Palace is the place to go to learn and explore all of that history. It gives a really wonderful overview of all of that.
Excellent.
That's definitely the place to spend some time.
Well, Kat, anything else we want to talk about in Zaragoza or in Aragon before we start to get to some of our wrap-up questions?
I think in research online, people will come across the big shopping mall, Puerto Venecia. Very popular in Zaragoza with the locals, and the teenagers I was teaching spend an awful lot of time there. It's actually one of the biggest malls in Europe.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit outside of the city, and it's a bus ride to get there. I think Zaragoza has many other wonderful things to see and do besides the mall. It's a mall. It is quite nice, but if shopping is not really on your radar, I would give that a pass. I know it will come across in any research, Zaragoza. If you're into shopping, sure. It's a wonderful half a day trip. Spend a couple of hours and walk around, but it's something I went to once and I didn't really need to go to again. I don't think it would be the top of my list for a visit to Zaragoza.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, let's start to wrap this up now. You are standing in the prettiest spot in Zaragoza. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
I am standing on the stone bridge and I am standing kind of mid-span and the Ebro River is below me. And I am looking at a full view of the Cathedral del Pilar.
Okay, and the stone bridge we didn't talk about, but this is an old bridge that crosses the Elbe River right by the cathedral. Okay.
It's kind of cool. I'm a fan of old bridges. It's really cool to see. If you have some time, keep going across the Ebro and discover the other side of the city, which is quite residential. Mm-hmm. It's still quite fun to explore some restaurants and things on that side. But mid-span on the stone bridge at night, looking at the floodlit cathedral is one of the most spectacular things I think you will ever see. It's really, really quite something. Nice during the day too, but nighttime is definitely the place to go. And again, anytime you Google Zaragoza, that will be the money shot. That will be the most famous postcard.
I think that was the shot that I went, yes, we should definitely do Zaragoza on the episode. Yep, absolutely.
That is absolutely a must do. That's the prettiest spot in Zaragoza, in my opinion.
One thing that makes you laugh and say only in Zaragoza.
Well, the timelines of things is a whole.
Sure. Although that's more Spain than Zaragoza. Yeah.
I think for me, because Zaragoza is not a very touristy,
yeah,
in terms of North American tourists, not a very touristy place, there's not a great deal of English spoken there. So for me, I had traveled around Spain before sort of without any problems. But when I got to Zaragoza, my Spanish was like a low level is an understatement. It's much better now, but just daily life. Daily life in Zaragoza was like only in Zaragoza because even the simplest thing was really hard to do because of the language barrier for me. It's not really sort of a typical Zaragozan thing, but not to fall back on my English, that wasn't what I wanted to do at all. But mm-hmm. I think just for me, just how little English there was there just made everything a little bit more difficult. So that's something I think people should be aware of, even though it's a city. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be as simple as maybe Madrid or Barcelona or Sevilla or Granada, where there's a big tourist center and people have at least a little bit of English, I think.
Okay.
But that's the beauty of Zaragoza as well. That's one of the things I like the most, because I didn't want to just go and speak English. Yeah. I was there to learn Spanish as well. So I think it's a great place to, only in Zaragoza can you practice your Spanish. That would be where I'd throw my hands up, but it's a really good thing at the same time.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Zaragoza in just three words, what three words are you going to use?
Authentic local Spain, for sure.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, and we mentioned your website, pathsandpostcards.com. Again, our guest is Kat Driver. I should mention that again, because we haven't said your name in a little bit here. If we wanted to send people to the best post on pathsandpostcards.com about Zaragoza or Aragon, where are we going to send them?
I have a post that will give readers a little walking tour of the Roman history.
Oh, excellent.
Of the city. So it has all the Roman sites clustered into one post there, and a little bit about the history of them and where they're located and what you can expect to see of them.
Great. I will send, I'll put a link to a Roman stroll through Zaragoza, Spain in the show notes.
Thank you.
Kat Driver, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for Zaragoza, Spain.
Oh, thanks for having me. That was really fun to talk about it. I miss it a lot, and everybody should go. And enjoy.
Thanks go out to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. We just did the books for Amateur Traveler, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate their support. If you're interested in supporting the show and finding out what you can get in return, go to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. I heard from Jeff Ulfs on the story we did last week on Mendocino. One correction from him, which I made in the show notes, but we didn't correct in the audio. At Van Dam State Park, it's the pygmy forest with stunted trees, not the pixie forest, which is what we called it. Jeff also says that if you're going to do that skunk train, and remember there's two parts to it now, they don't connect, one from Fort Bragg and one from Willits. He thinks that the trip from Willits is a better ride through the Redwoods. And he also pointed out that the Lost Coast, which we talked about, which is up in Humboldt County, is within the Kings Range National Conservation Area administered by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, which is the nation's first National Conservation Area designation, and it happened in 1970. Jeff, you are always who I look to for that kind of information. And then we pointed out that Humboldt County was known for certain substances, and Jeff says it's also known for Redwood National and State Parks, which I should point out, and Jeff didn't say, are a UNESCO World Heritage Site, so pretty awesome. Also for Humboldt State University, says the proud grad, and the county seat of Eureka. Thanks so much, Jeff. I also heard from Mario on that episode, and Mario says, thank you for your episode about Mendocino County. I grew up in Fort Bragg and moved away, but still love to come back. I didn't realize how ugly most of the rest of the world is in comparison. And then Mario also writes for the person who is asking about online tutors. Anyone looking for a private online language tutor of most languages can use italki.com. That's italki.com to find one. Right now, there are 1,224 French tutors available for lessons. I've taken more than 400 hours of Italian, and two of my kids do weekly Spanish lessons there with their tutors. Best of luck, Mario. Thanks, Mario. And then I got a comment from Ong who said, it is beautiful coastal views in Mendocino, but there is nothing to do at night. Everything is closed after 8 p.m. I think that's more true in Mendocino than some of the rest of the area, but you're right. This is not an area to go to for nightlife. It's an area to bring someone that you love to talk to and spend time with and can make your own fun. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.